Terrific, Jay. Thank you very much. Let's pray, shall we, as we consider that reading together. So, loving Father, we pray as we look at these really very famous words from the Bible, that you'd give us clear understanding, not just understanding, you know, what it meant all those years ago, but also what it means for us today as your people. And wherever we kind of stand in our walk with you, from the kind of inquirer through to the seasoned believer, we pray that you'd have a word for each of us today. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Out of the Black Shadows is the amazing true story of how Stephen Lungu became a Christian believer. This is Stephen Lungu. He grew up in Zimbabwe in the 50s and 60s. His parents deserted him, and he ended up in a dangerous gang called the Black Shadows, hence the title of the book. And to cut a very long story short, Stephen and the gang ended up planning an attack on a Christian meeting that was being held in a kind of big top tent. And with petrol bombs in his pockets, for the first time in his life, Stephen hears about Jesus. He hears how Jesus came to offer forgiveness to anyone who comes to him. Now, you should read the book. It's a great book. I won't spoil the details. But that evening, with petrol bombs still in his pockets, he knelt down with the preacher and prayed for the first time in his life. And this is how he remembered that evening himself in the book. "I knelt to approach God for the first time in my life. I did not know quite how to say it, but for the first time, I realized that God loved me and was waiting for me. God, I cried, I have nothing. I am nothing. I can't read. I can't write. My total inadequacy choked me. My parents don't want me. Take me up, God, take me up. I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Jesus, forgive me and take me now." Immediately, I felt as if a heavy burden had rolled off my back. There was a tremendous rush of relief and peace. I was astonished by the joy that flowed through me. Me, a thrown away child among millions in Africa. But Jesus had found me. It's a wonderful story of how Jesus rescued him and then totally redefined him. He rescued from sin, from judgment, from a fruitless life, and redefined as a loved child of God who may have been abandoned by his parents, but had been found by Jesus and now belonged to him. And actually, we don't need to have Stephen's background to know that we are lost, trapped in fears, on a fruitless journey through life, trying to prove yourself to who you don't know, why you don't know. And the reality is actually all of us need what Jesus offers, for him to rescue us and to redefine us, to tell us who we are and how we fit into this world. And you know, the most important visual aid that the Old Testament gives us of that work that Jesus came to do is in the chapters that we're looking at today. Exodus 12 and 13, this story of the Passover. These chapters, you know, it's not just ancient history. It's not just an insight into ancient Jewish culture. They give us the story of our redemption. And it's a story in two parts, rescued by the blood of the Lamb and redefined by the blood of the Lamb. So let's chart that out in those two stages. First then, rescued by the blood of the Lamb. And it all begins with the last and terrible of the 10 plagues. And we join as Moses is confronting the stubborn Pharaoh. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the female slave who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark or any person or animal. Now then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you, after that I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. And this would be the moment when finally Pharaoh gave up and the people walked free, just as God had said all those many months ago that they would do. But in preparation for that departure, God has these very important instructions for Moses to pass on to the people. Just notice how detailed they are as we look at them again. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel," okay, this is for everyone, "that on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are." You see, this is something that the whole community needs to be covered by. "You're to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted on a fire along with bitter herbs and the bread made without yeast. This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." You see, they're about to make this great, great departure from Egypt. And then the terrible judgment: "On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And where I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." They're detailed instructions, and Moses then repeats them to the Israelite leaders. And as he does that, okay, that was in the passage that Joe kindly read for us, I don't know if you noticed, but he really kind of zooms in, particularly on the painted blood. And you can imagine him in deadly earnest talking to the elders. "Look, is everybody clear? Okay, it's not enough to have the lamb. It's not enough to kill the lamb. It's not enough to eat the lamb. You must paint the blood on the door. Is everyone clear? You must do that." Chapter 12, verse 23. This is why. "When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter the houses and strike you down." Okay, the message couldn't have been clearer. You were only safe if a lamb had died instead. And if in trust and obedience to God, you had painted its blood on the door. "Well, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all the officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead." And you can just imagine an Israelite firstborn waking up the next morning to this wailing and grieving, knowing that they were still there because a lamb had died instead, rescued by the blood of the lamb. Now, why did God do all of that? Well, he did it to give us a picture of what would be true for all of us when he carried out the greatest redemption ever through Jesus. And thousands of years later, in an upper room, there sat a rabbi with 12 followers who joined together in the Passover meal. And at that meal, and many of us will remember it, Jesus took the unleavened bread and said, "This is my body." He took the cup and said, "This is my blood, of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins." And you know, the next day, he was led up a hill, and at the same moment that down the hill in the temple, the Passover lambs were being sacrificed in celebration of the Passover feast, Jesus died on the cross. Same day, same hour. Now, that was not a coincidence. Here's how the Apostle Paul puts it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he says, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Do you see, just as the blood of the lamb in Exodus was the gateway to rescue and freedom for the people, so the blood of Jesus, on a much bigger scale, is our gateway to rescue and freedom. The lamb that Passover night acted as a substitute. It stood in the place, you know, as Peter so helpfully said in his kid slot, of the eldest son. And in the same way, Christ came to be our substitute. Actually, you know, our failure to love and live for the God who made us leaves all of us guilty, deserving of judgment. But such is God's love for us that he came down from heaven in the person of his son. And he, and this is, I mean, mind-blowing, he became our substitute. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God, with all of God's perfection and yet also all of our humanity, and the judgment fell on him instead. Rescued by the blood of a lamb. But did you notice in the Exodus text how indiscriminate the Lord's judgment was? We had the verse up on the screen earlier, but chapter 12, verse 29 says, at midnight, the Lord struck down the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon. Okay, and the point is, on that Passover night, your rank, your job, your affluence, your power, none of it made any difference at all. From Pharaoh to the prisoner, all were exposed. Actually, the only discriminating factor that night was the blood of the lamb. The only thing that made a difference was the blood of the lamb painted on those doors. The only relevant question, did you paint the blood? And God's final judgment will be the same. Your background, your wealth, your connections, your education, actually even your moral good deeds, none of it will make any difference as God exposes the depths of our hearts. On that day when we face our Maker, the only relevant question will be, did you paint the blood? Did you trust in the blood of Jesus shed for you? We do need to do that, you see. And it's available for everyone. I mean, it's an amazing story, Stephen Lungu, that we started with. His life really was caught up with awful violence, murder even. He didn't deserve to escape God's judgment, but do you see, Christ became his Passover lamb, his doorway to forgiveness and freedom from judgment. Jesus' rescue is truly open to all, but we must paint the blood on the doorframe of our lives as we personally accept Christ as our own Saviour and as our own Lord. And I wonder, have you done that? Well, for some of us today, that is the crucial message that you need to hear. Okay, you need to see the historical credibility of Christ's death on the cross, the way it perfectly lined up with Passover. I mean, this is the fulfillment of thousands of years of ancient prophecy. It's not just a random kind of thing that a few blokes made up one day. It's historically credible. You also need to see the moral necessity of the forgiveness that Jesus offers. But, you know, it doesn't stop there, because Christians have not only been rescued, but also redefined by the blood of the Lamb. And this is how we're going to finish today. Redefined by the blood of the Lamb. It's interesting, even as these first instructions for the Passover are being given, it comes out loud and clear. You've got to keep remembering this. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1 says, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Their calendar restarted around this event. Every year, a week's holiday, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, would commemorate this event. Now, we didn't have time to read all of chapters 12 to 13 of Exodus, but if you did, you'd have noticed that there is more time spent describing how the Passover should be remembered than the Passover events themselves. Remember, remember God's rescue from Egypt. That seems to be one of the big points. You've got to remember this. And any thoughtful reader is going to ask, well, why? Why is it so important to remember? Well, they're not to remember just for the sake of it, as if they've got an exam, they've got to pass, and then they can forget all about it afterwards. No, they're to remember because the events of the Passover were to become central to their identity as a people from that moment on. In other words, these events were to permanently redefine them. In other words, you've got to remember who you are. You are the redeemed people of God. Never forget that he loves you, that he rescued you. You belong to him. This is who you are from now on, from generation to generation. And you know, the blood of Jesus does exactly the same thing for anyone who trusts in him. It completely redefines us. Here's how 1 Peter 2 puts it. I read this earlier in the service. Talking to anyone who's trusted in Christ, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That little phrase, you are, this is who you are now. This is what defines you. You're redeemed. Jesus died for you. You belong to him. Which means, friends, your core identity is not as a father or a mother, a black person or a white person, a public school kid or a state school kid, a middle class person or a working class person. You are not identified anymore by what other people think of you. You are a loved and redeemed child of God. That is you. At rock bottom, if you've trusted in Christ. Someone once said, we are not defined by the likes of many, but by the love of one. Don't you ever forget it. Remember, remember God's rescue through Jesus. You are now defined by the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to finish just with three very quick bullet points as to why it is essential that we keep remembering all that Christ has done for us, that we are defined by him. First reason is so we're not swallowed up by the world. Okay, the Israelites, as they left Egypt, they were heading into a world there where they were going to be a small minority in a world that worshipped other gods that had totally different priorities. Okay, when they arrived in the promised land, the pressure to conform to the world around them would be immense. But they were called not to conform, but to be witnesses in the world, so that the nations might know about the redeeming love of God. And that meant they had to remember who they were. Keep remembering their identity as God's redeemed people. And the same is true for us. Unless we remember, remember, we too will be swallowed up by the attitudes and priorities of the world around us. And rendered totally ineffective as God's witnessing people. Remember that Jesus defines you so that you're not swallowed up by the attitudes and aspirations of the world. But secondly, do it so that the next generation knows. Three times. These verses imagine a situation where our children ask us questions. When you enter the land, the Lord gives you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Tell them. It's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes. You see, the good news of Jesus is only ever one generation away from extinction, which is why parents must take responsibility for teaching their children, teaching them that Jesus defines us. We belong to him. Okay, this is not a religious activity like a kind of religious version of rugby or ballet. No, Jesus died for us. We belong to him. We keep remembering, remembering so that the next generation knows as well. And finally, we keep remembering, remembering so that when suffering comes, we can endure. you know, a very strong case can be made that our Western individualistic, materialistic culture has left people totally unable to cope with hardship and significant suffering. Well, you know, life was going to be tough for the Israelites as they left Egypt. Almost as soon as they left, an army was after them. A desert lay ahead of them. Hardship was going to be a reality. Now, how do you persevere through hardship? Well, you've got to remember who you are. You are loved, redeemed. God is working redemption in your life. And you better remember that, because life is going to be tough. Life is tough for some of us right now. But no matter what you're going through, remember who you are. Remember who He is. Your loving Father, who redeemed you with the blood of His Son. He cares for you. You can trust Him. Remember. Remember. You see, we are people who are rescued by the blood of the Lamb and now redefined by the blood of the Lamb. For Stephen Lungu, it was totally transformative. Actually, you know, it's transformative for all of us. So let's just finish now with a moment of quiet in your own hearts, just to thank Jesus, praise Him that He rescues and redefines us, that your value lies not in the likes of many, but in the love of one. Well, just a few moments of quiet, and then we'll hand over to Debbie for our prayers.